Hi, my name is Felicia, and welcome to My Office Hours. This podcast is a place for me to think through whatever's on my mind as I try to understand myself and the people around me. Today's episode is about political correctness, identity politics, and my issues with people getting offended over everything. So basically, this episode is about my journey to realizing that the left has bias too, and that it's not always a good thing. Throughout this podcast, I do want to say, and I don't want to spend too long on the intro just because I feel like I did talk a lot, but before I begin, I want to say, so throughout this episode, I do discuss trans rights, and I hate that I even have to say this, and you'll understand further why I hate that I have to say this, but like I said, I do discuss trans people, trans rights, and legislation having to do with gender identity and expression in Canada, and I know that it's pretty commonplace for people to make assumptions or to just misunderstand someone's point of view and then to misconstrue that as like fact and then present it as like, look, this person is awful. So as I discuss these things, I just want to make it extremely clear. And honestly, like, the substance of this podcast really doesn't really have anything to do with trans people at all, but it just kind of ended up being a convenient example for what I was talking about. So I want to explicitly state, no, I am not transphobic. Yes, I always use people's pronouns. I don't dead name people, and I do not misgender them. I support trans people, and I support their right to live without fear of dying just for existing. I think that's ridiculous that would even be a question, but I just felt like I wanted to clarify that, and I hope that clarifies any questions or assumptions that people might have or that people might make throughout this episode. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed the episode, and thanks for listening. All right, hello, welcome to Office Hours. Before I get started today, I just kind of want to say one quick thing. I have made the decision to turn Office Hours into a podcast, so I'm going to do like a nice little intro, throw it up on Spotify, on Apple Podcast, and it'll be available there. I'll have the link in the description if you would prefer to listen to this episode as opposed to watch it if you're watching it on YouTube right now. I'm not going to be promising like weekly episodes or anything, and I'm not going to be making it into like a, I don't want to say like a real podcast, but basically what I'm going to be doing is just whenever I release an Office Hours episode, I'll make it available on Spotify and Apple, but I'm not creating like an Office Hours podcast, if that makes sense. It's just, if you don't want to watch the video, because these videos are just like me sitting and talking, right? And a lot of videos like this, I prefer to listen to them as podcasts. So yeah, if you prefer to listen to this episode on Spotify, on Apple Podcast, and it'll be available other places too, but I will have the link in the description on YouTube. And if you're listening right now, then you can go to my channel, By Felicia, that's B-Y-F-E-L-I-C-I-A, and you can watch the video there. But yeah, I'm just gonna kind of jump into what I want to talk about today. So I really wanted to talk about distancing myself, or the reasons why I have distanced myself from more social justice warrior type activism. Like, when I say social justice warrior type activism, like, I want you to think of like Tumblr, like 2014, 2015 Tumblr, or even like Twitter right now, just people that are very, basically just someone who is fighting aggressively, has dedicated their online presence pretty much to fighting for social justice. And often what that will look like is maybe like calling people out, shutting people down, finding racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia in certain things, and kind of letting other people know, but doing it in a way where like it's low-key kind of annoying. Like, I know you're trying to do the right thing, but like low-key maybe you're going a little bit too far. That's like what a social justice warrior is. And I was like that, I would say probably around like 2013, 2014, 2015 was like my peak social justice warrior days. So it's been years since I've been like that. It's 2019 now. I'm like 23 years old. I've grown. But more recently, I've been thinking a lot about society, about activism, about social justice, about identity politics. And if you don't know what identity politics are, basically identity politics is when you fight politically for your group based on an aspect of your identity. It could be your race, it could be your gender, it could be your religion. So I'm Black, for example, so maybe I would, like, Black Lives Matter is identity politics, for example. That's basically. So I've been thinking a lot about that and just like the overall political landscape of society today, because we live in a very interesting time right now. I think it's become pretty common in our society to feel really justified in dismissing someone else's opinion or dismissing the perspective as long as you view that person as being bad, or even worse, if that person is an oppressor or if that person has said something oppressive or said something offensive, it is seen as like pretty much justified to like completely shut them down. Like, you don't have the right to speak, pretty much. Like, your opinion doesn't need to be heard. And I think it can take the form of something being a lot more aggressive, because it can end up being just like you like shouting someone down so they can't say something. And at the very least, maybe you just decide that that person's perspective is so offensive or so annoying that there's not even a reason for you to really engage with them. So you just kind of don't engage with them or listen to them, and you just kind of like move on. And I feel like that's become pretty commonplace in our society and like pretty normal, that if someone says something offensive, like I said, there's kind of like a spectrum of how people choose to deal with that. It can take kind of like a less extreme form of someone just choosing not to engage, and it can take a more extreme form of someone, for example, being like canceled or someone being silenced based on something that they've said. I don't know, you see something that is offensive, you recognize that thing as being offensive, and you react to that. And I think that the underlying reason for doing that obviously is like to make the world a better place. I think we're in a time now where we have access to so much information, and a lot of us know the history of the countries that we're growing up in. I'm from Canada, but I feel like the United States, American politics play, and even just American social life play so much into the lived experience of Canadians. But I think that historically we've been able to recognize that things have just played out really unfairly for a lot of groups, and people kind of have like a desire now to level the playing field and to make the world a better, more equitable, safer space for groups that have been historically marginalized. So we're moving towards trying to be a lot more politically correct, even though cancel culture doesn't work, it's not real, but we're moving towards kind of like the acceptance of cancel culture. So like I was saying, like someone does something wrong or problematic, then they deserve to be shut down, canceled, no longer allowed to participate in society. Like I was saying, I think that these movements, these ideas, they're born out of a desire to make society a better place. The idea is, well, in order to make society a better place, we need to either invalidate or dismiss and kind of like get rid of ideas that seem to be getting in the way of true equality. And we need to shut down people who are offensive. We need to encourage more people to be politically correct. And I think the goal is to create a world where like no one really has to like feel bad about themselves. No one feels like they are being cheated out of opportunities. No one feels like they're going to be attacked or killed literally just for existing. And honestly, I feel like that's a pretty good goal. But what's confusing about all of this is that I feel like we all have different ideas on how to get there. I feel like we have different ideas on what an ideal society is, but then also different ideas on what the right path to take. And I feel like as society has started to lean a little bit more left, because I think we are kind of like a little bit more left-leaning now, people on more like the right side have started to push back against PC culture. And so you have the left and the right just kind of like duking it out, with the right being like, no, we're going too far, things are getting way too PC, and the left kind of being like, there's no such thing as way too PC, we need to respect everyone, we need to create a safe space in society. And that's kind of like where we're at right now, where we're just kind of like tussling it out. The left is punching the right is punching the left, no one's really getting along, and it's just kind of like confusing, because one person might say hashtag me too, another person responds and they're just like, hashtag not all men. And I don't know. It's like, well, why is that? Like, why does that happen? And when you're in an argument with someone, when you can so clearly see and understand your own point, understand your own perspective, at least for me, like, I'll be sitting there and I'm just like, I don't understand what's wrong with this person. Like, I don't understand why you can't see things from my perspective. I don't understand how else I can explain what I'm trying to talk about to really get you to understand that I'm right. But here's the big question. And here's the question that I've been asking myself more recently. And for those of you that know me, if you've been watching my channel, I think it's pretty clear that I'm mostly left-leaning. I'm a pretty liberal person, a pretty progressive person. So this question honestly sounds kind of ridiculous to even like say it out loud. But the big question is, you know, how do you actually know that your perspective is right? Like, how do I know? Because you have to test it, don't you? Like, to actually know that something is true, you have to test it. You can't just decide that it gets to be true. You have to prove it, don't you? Like, you have to pick up what you believe the truth to be. You kind of have to pull it apart, look at it, dust it off, put it back together, reassemble it, hold it up to the light, drop it on the floor, see if it breaks. Like, you can't just decide this is truth. You have to, there has to be evidence, pretty much is what I'm saying. And so I want to share with you all this story of something that happened a few days ago, because my questioning of what is the truth or whatever, I've been thinking about this for a while. But I feel like this example, perfectly illustrates why I've been thinking about it. And then I'm going to kind of jump into more later. And I hope that this is all making sense. I'm really hoping that I'm not speaking too abstractly. But now I'm going to kind of get story time. Everyone gather around, grab your chips and cookies, grab your milk, non-dairy milk. But yeah, so I wanted to share this story. This happened a few days ago, but in order to fully explain it, I have to get into a little bit of some Canadian drama that happened a few years back. So this is about free speech, and free speech works differently in Canada than it does in the United States. In Canada, we don't even actually call it free speech. We call it free expression. And we have more laws regulating expression or regulating speech than the United States has. Like, it's just the United States, I'm pretty sure they only limit speech for like very specific reasons. Even if it's hateful speech, I'm pretty sure you only limit it if it's like inciting violence. But in Canada, there are more restrictions on like hate speech, for example. But yeah, so Canada, we already have like hate speech legislation and things like that. But a few years ago, there was a bill called Bill C-16 that was introduced. And basically, the goal was to amend the Canadian Human Rights Code or Ontario Human Rights Code. I think it was a Canadian Human Rights Code, and to amend the Criminal Code to protect gender identity and to protect gender expression. Canadian Human Rights Act, sorry. Also, if you're watching on YouTube and you see me looking at my notes, I apologize, but I need them. So now, basically, according to the Human Rights Act, trans people are protected from discrimination. So it's a crime to target trans people with hate speech, to incite public hatred. And in accordance with the Ontario Human Rights Code, it's considered gender-based harassment to refuse to use a person's self-identified name and their personal pronouns. Okay, so here's where the story gets kind of messy, a little bit juicy. So here comes this academic type, this guy. His name is Jordan Peterson. And he starts making all of this fuss about the new law. And he's just like, this law is wrong. He's saying that the Canadian government is violating free speech. The Canadian government isn't allowed to dictate the content of his speech. The Canadian government isn't allowed to tell him what he has to say. Everyone just kind of jumps on this guy as being transphobic. So a bunch of the people, so he actually works at a university. He's a professor. He worked at UFT. He was a professor of psychology. A bunch of his colleagues got together and were like calling on him to resign. People started protesting him at his speaking engagement. So whenever he would go out to speak, people would show up and just kind of like shout him down. They were holding signs and like whatever, like this guy's transphobic, like F you. And I was on YouTube randomly last week, and I was recommended this video by a guy named Jordan Peterson. And this happened, like this whole instance that I just talked about, this happened quite some time ago. So I see this guy recommended on my YouTube, and I decide, you know what, against my better judgment, I'm going to click on this video and I'm going to watch it. So I clicked on this video and I watched it. And the series of events after I watched that video have just led to me literally questioning truth, questioning the media, questioning my education, questioning social justice, questioning my ideologies, questioning everything that I think that I know. I'm realizing now that for so long, I have been so rigid in my belief systems, so rigid in my ideologies, so dedicated to fighting for social justice that it's allowed me to kind of become so quick to judge, which is the opposite of what my intention is, right? So anyways, I click on this video and I end up watching Jordan Peterson for hours. I just find myself captivated by him, captivated by his ideas. I was in university for 5 years. During that entire time, I never really had like a favorite academic. Like I would read stuff and I'd be like, oh, this is kind of interesting. But like no one ever really intrigued me or really pulled me in. Even if my professors, there were people that I thought like, oh, these people are really interesting. And I had professors that I really liked. But like there was never an academic where I was just like, you are like amazing. And I'm a nerd. Jordan Peterson right now, and based on what I just said about him, I know a lot of y'all are probably just like, okay, like, how can you say that? Let me kind of just like finish off, right? This guy is probably the most sensible, kind-hearted, the most honest, intelligent academic I've ever encountered, the most well-spoken, so well-researched. So it's just, his entire platform is based around just helping people find their way through life, helping people develop a sense of purpose to help push them through life and through trying to help them improve their situations to help them become happier, to escape depression and anxiety and just the feeling that I think a lot of us struggle with of just not having that sense of direction. And that's kind of what his platform is built around. And so as I kept listening to him and his lectures, I came to find pretty quickly that his arguments about this new law in Canada, Bill C-16, and also just his character, like who he is, because he was represented as kind of being like a member of like the alt-right, a transphobe, a Nazi, like that's how people kind of like characterized him. And I realized that his argument and also his character were so grossly misrepresented in the media that I feel it actually is a little bit scary. Like it actually is scary how misrepresented he was. So I'll lay out essentially what happened very quickly before moving on. So basically, this guy's argument is that the government shouldn't be allowed to tell people what to say. And that's just what his argument is. That at no point should the government be allowed to criminalize speech. Like the government should never be able to say to you, if you don't say this, we'll put you in jail, regardless of why they're telling you to say it. He's essentially saying that like once you give the government an inch, they'll take a mile. The minute that we let the government say, you have to say this, it's kind of like, where does it stop? Jordan Peterson's argument makes sense. Like it's not like it's just a basic democratic argument that the government shouldn't be allowed to tell people what to say. And it's an argument that is widely accepted in the political and social sciences. It's not anything crazy, but it's just a concept that the government shouldn't be allowed to decide the content of your speech. Like the government should never be allowed to tell you, these are the exact words that you have to say. And if you don't say these words, you're going to jail. But his stance became inflammatory and became very political because of the context the conversation was happening in. If you add in the context, the argument stops being about free speech and the argument starts to be about trans rights. But what's interesting about this is that Jordan Peterson has said in multiple interviews that he will and that he has used people's pronouns if they ask. He's not talking about trans rights and his only desire is to talk about freedom of speech. He's literally said in an interview, I wanted to quote it, "The fact that it has to do with trans rights is virtually irrelevant. The issue is compelled speech." And so I hear about Jordan Peterson and I hear about him as a transphobic piece of crap and I refuse to listen to him for years. He randomly pops up on my YouTube recommended. I decide to watch him, and I am amazed at how misrepresented this man was. And I'm also very impressed by how intelligent he is, and his ideas. I decide that I want to share Jordan Peterson on my Instagram story because I think the man is brilliant. So I post a video about Jordan Peterson on my Instagram story because the man is brilliant. And I get a DM from someone, and this person says, just so you know, he's transphobic. I try to explain to her that his argument has been misunderstood. It's been misrepresented by the media. And I even tell her, you know, for a long time, I was in the same position as you where I'm trying to ally myself with the trans community. I didn't listen to him. Once I did, I realized that had just how misinformed I was. And now I am sharing his thoughts, his opinions with other people because I think that he genuinely has a lot to offer the world. He is honestly the sweetest man. So this person tells me that she refuses. She refuses to listen to Peterson, that she's read articles about him, and the articles that she's read about him are enough for her to know everything about him. And she said a few things, and I'm going to read them. So she says, I just don't understand how you can respect the ideas of someone that's transphobic, an oppressor. As a cis person, it'd be a disservice to trans folks to engage with ideas of a transphobic person, whether or not those ideas hold weight. She says to me, I've read articles about him to know that his argument about freedom of speech justified his refusal to respect people's pronouns and that he shouldn't be forced to use that language. All of that is transphobic. She says, I care more about the lives of trans and NB folk than the ideas of one man. I wish you did the same. Throughout her argument, she's implying that I'm transphobic. She's implying that I'm a bad person, but I kept trying to kind of like push her to be like, hey, listen, I don't think that this man is actually saying what you think he's saying. So I say to her, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to correct you. I'm just going to keep asking you to listen to him. And if you haven't listened to him, you don't have a valid argument because your opinion was given to you by someone else. You didn't form it yourself. I feel like I get comments or like DMs sometime of people being like, I just love how you deal with like the haters or whatever on like YouTube, because I try to be like very nice, and I don't even think that what I said was rude. So what I said is like, if you haven't listened to him, you don't have a valid argument because your opinion was given to you by someone else. You didn't form it yourself. I don't think that was necessarily rude. I think it was the truth. Granted, I did say it while I was a little bit salty because it's like, don't sit here and try to tell me that I'm transphobic. Like, you don't even know what you're talking about. You didn't even listen to the guy's argument. So how do you have an opinion? I think that's a very valid question. If I say what this person said is not transphobic and you say, yes, it is. And I ask you, what did they say? And you can't tell me because you haven't listened to their argument. Is your opinion valid? And it's interesting because I disagree with kind of like how she's approaching the whole situation, right? But at the same time, I completely understand. I completely get it. Because not too long ago, I was doing the same thing. I was in the exact same position, And I think the goal here, or the idea here, is to create a better world. It's to create a safer world. It's to be on the right side. It's to be a good ally. It's to avoid offending people. But you're doing that at what cost? And that seems like kind of like a messed up question. Like, you're creating a better world at what cost? What does that even mean? And I'll tell you what it cost me. I'm realizing that I have very few original opinions and very few original perspectives, and that I have been just kind of walking around with this horribly disfigured version of the truth. And anytime someone would like look at my version of the truth and be like, that truth looks wrong, that truth looks kind of ugly, I'd just be like, okay, well, I'm just gonna dismiss everything that you're saying because you're on the wrong side. You're an oppressor. You're offensive. Therefore, you have no right to have an opinion on what my truth is. You clearly don't know what you're talking about. I would just dismiss them. That person, because like I said, they were on the wrong side. But that begs a question. Does the truth have a right side and a wrong side? Or does the truth just exist? It's just the truth. You don't really get to decide what side it lands on. The truth just is. And like I was saying, I think today we're so prone to kind of trying to be as virtuous and as good and as PC as possible, and we are trying so hard to reach this level of like moral perfection to save the marginalized, to save the oppressed, that we've started to value uncritical thoughts and accept uncritical ideas. And what I mean by that when I say uncritical thoughts or uncritical ideas is essentially just thoughts and ideas that haven't been challenged, thoughts and ideas that haven't been properly engaged with, thoughts and ideas that haven't been pulled apart, dropped on the floor, put back together, dusted off, rolled around. Like, you just see a thought, it feels right, and you just accept it as truth. But is that actually how you find the truth? Or do you find the truth through evidence, through testing it, through questioning yourself, through challenging it? And critical thought is just properly analyzing facts before you form a judgment. That's all that it is. Properly analyzing the set of events, properly analyzing what someone said, properly analyzing what happened, whatever, before you form a judgment. Because if you just look at something and decide, that's an uncritical thought. And how do you properly analyze anything if you create this habit where just dismissing something the second that it offends you, or the second that you believe that it will offend a group that you've allied yourself with? How do you properly analyze anything if your default is pretending like the information isn't out there? If your default is not engaging at all? How do you form original opinions? How do you form original ideas? How do you know what you're hearing is the truth? How do you know that? Even if at the end of the day, you listen to, say, for example, Jordan Peterson. You listen to Jordan Peterson and you decide, okay, well, this guy is transphobic, this guy is wrong, this guy is a misogynist, whatever you want to think about him, he's alt-right, whatever. Even if at the end of the day you decide that his ideas are wrong, to come to that conclusion requires some sort of engagement with that person's thoughts. If you just listen to everything that I've said about Jordan Peterson and you form an opinion based on what I've said, your opinion isn't solid because it's based on what I said. It's not based on what Jordan Peterson said. You don't actually know what Jordan Peterson has said. You don't actually know if anything that I'm saying is true. You don't actually know if I'm biased and I'm hiding certain things or adding in certain things, if I'm speaking around the truth, if I'm not being fully forward with you. You don't actually know how I'm representing the truth. So you can take what I've said and adopt it into your own ideology, adopt it as a part of your opinion, as a part of your thought, as a part of your understanding of the truth, but you haven't engaged with it. You've just let me decide what you should think. The issue that I'm having here is I try to navigate trying to be politically correct to an extent that makes sense. We're getting to the point where even engaging in someone who seemingly opposes your thought or engaging with someone who is seemingly offensive is considered to be a betrayal to the oppressed. This is exactly what this person said. I just don't understand how you can respect the ideas of someone that's transphobic, of someone that's an oppressor. And it's this idea that I am betraying the trans community by even listening to Jordan Peterson. But is that true? I'm not sure that it is. It's just very odd. I don't know how we've gotten to the place where just engaging with someone else's ideas is seen as wrong. And I think about, oh my gosh, I don't know if anyone remembers, but there was this, I can't remember exactly what he said, but Piers Morgan, he says crazy stuff all the time. But Piers Morgan, he was in the news for saying something crazy. And Ariana Grande tweeted and she was just like, oh, like I sat down and I decided to have a conversation with him about it. And we talked about it for a long time. And people were angry with her. People were genuinely angry and upset with her for even taking the time to sit down and talk to him because they didn't think that he deserved that time. And people were acting like Ariana Grande did something so awful by just sitting down and engaging with this guy's ideas and having a discussion with him. And I'm like, I don't know if that really makes sense. And here's the thing is that it becomes kind of tricky because once you ally yourself with a certain group, it's hard for you personally to decide if what you're doing is okay or not. Because okay, say for example, you're not black. I kind of have like more of the authority. Like that's kind of like how it works, right? It's like I kind of have more of an authority to decide what is and isn't racist than you do. So if you're a white person and I'm black as I am, and I say this is racist, the kind of like the way that our society exists right now is like you're not even necessarily allowed to argue with me. Like you just kind of have to accept that what I've decided is racist, and that's kind of like that's just kind of what it is. But at least I'm able to form my own opinions and have kind of like a voice for myself. But once you ally yourself with a community and you give them that, not power, but you have to listen to what they're saying. I can't necessarily recognize transphobia and everything, right? I'm not a trans person. That's not my experience. So I'm looking to other trans people to tell me, to let me know, like, okay, what is right? What is wrong? What is transphobic? What is okay? But if I hear something that I'm not necessarily sure about, I don't really have, like, the grounds to argue that because it's not my experience and I just kind of have to go off of what they're saying. And so, like I said, I understand this person's perspective, but I'm also confused. I'm also confused by it now, and I'm trying to figure out what is the line for being PC. I feel like now it's considered wrong, it's considered unacceptable, it's considered immoral, it's considered a betrayal to the marginalized or to the oppressed to even entertain someone's ideas if they seem to oppose that group. And like I was saying before, I think there's a really big difference between listening to someone and agreeing with them. Those are two different things, and I think that the two should not be conflated. And so for the past little while, though, I have been listening. I have really been listening. I have been listening to people who I had previously deemed to be offensive. I've been listening to their thoughts. I've been listening to their ideas. I've been going out of my way to listen to and read Reddit threads that I would ordinarily consider to be just not a place for me to go. I've been watching YouTube videos. I've been reading online articles. I've been listening. I stepped across the aisle from liberal land. And going into it, I felt like I had to really prepare myself to be confronted with pretty much like the alt-right, the Nazis. Like, I'm like, I don't know what type of stuff I'm gonna see. I don't know what type of stuff that I wanna hear, but I'm probably just gonna leave feeling like enraged and upset. Instead, what happened was I was confronted with my own bias, and that's pretty much it. I was confronted with my own bias and confronted with the realization that I have been fighting for and fighting against things that I don't fully understand. For example, oh my God, I literally feel like, here's the thing, is it almost feels like a betrayal to say these things out loud. It feels wrong, and I can already feel people misunderstanding me, and it's like it makes me hesitant to even want to say anything. But anyways, I have always regarded quote-unquote meninism and men's rights, any variation of those movements, I've just kind of like regarded them as being like completely ridiculous and unfounded and just kind of like some kind of like sick parody of feminism. But I've come to realize that maybe the men's rights movement is valid. Like, they actually have legitimate concerns that might need to be captured outside of feminism. And I don't say that ironically. Like, they have legitimate concerns. I used to think that anyone who would even utter the words black on black crime, you're racist. Like, what's wrong with you? This person is trying to derail the conversation. This person doesn't care about black lives. This person is just here to stir things up. But I'm learning that statistically, it might be a more pressing issue, and it might be an issue that needs to be tackled culturally. And it's not necessarily divisive to acknowledge that. I feel like I have been more like leaning more towards kind of like the Marxist side of things. Saying stuff like, you know, like the rich need to be taxed more, you know, raise the taxes on the 1%. These millionaires shouldn't be sitting on all of their money when there are people starving and all of this. And I'm sure a lot of people agree with me. But then I started to, after I was listening to more like conservative people speak, I started to have to ask myself some hard questions that I not even hard questions, but just questions that I had never really asked myself before. So like, how much do you have to make to be in the 1%? Is it millions? No, it's like $200,000 in Canada anyways. And then how much are the 1% already being taxed? The 1% are already being taxed over double what the lowest income bracket is being taxed. And then it's like, how much should the taxes be raised? I don't know. How would the taxes be distributed? I don't know. And it's like, all of those are really important questions to answer and important things to look at and important things to consider before forming a valid opinion and screaming, raise the taxes on the 1% on Twitter. It's like, those are just basic things that you should know. You should have a basic understanding of the tax system. And I even tweeted the other day, I was just like, honestly, I realize that a lot of the people that are tweeting how the school should have taught taxes because they don't understand the tax system are the same people that are saying that we should tax the 1%. And I am one of those people. So I'm just trying to learn a lot more. I'm trying to listen a lot more. I'm trying to not go into a video or an article or whatever already feeling like I have my guard up or am defensive. And a lot of the things now that I've been looking at as being divisive or offensive or excuses, I'm starting to understand, hey, maybe these things are valid concerns. And what does that say about me? That I've been shouting down and dismissing these valid concerns. And I never thought in my life that I would say, or that I would give my attention to Fox News, but I've been watching some clips of Fox News on YouTube and they're not all terrible. I actually heard some really interesting opinions and gained some insight from listening to other perspectives. And it's like, I feel like right now I'm living in this like fragmented version of reality where I don't know what's true about the world and what's not true about the world anymore. And where I feel this allegiance to this set of beliefs that I've been holding for so long. And it feels almost wrong, like I was saying, to look across the aisle at the other side. But I'm realizing that the other side is not what I was led to believe that they were. So yeah, on the one hand, it's like coming to terms with my own bias and realizing how I have been for years oversimplifying, dismissing, and demonizing these opinions that I had never even given a chance, that I had never even properly engaged with, that I had been walking around confused as to why people wouldn't just hear me out and listen to me when I wasn't offering people that same level of respect. And then on the other hand, I feel embarrassingly that engaging with these opinions is somehow a betrayal of these other groups that I have politically aligned myself with. But regardless of that, I have been learning a lot. And I don't regret that and don't apologize for that. So for the past few years, I realized that like all of my sources, from the people that I listen to, the newspapers that I read, the media that I consume, the influencers that I watch, they all share a similar ideology to me. And I've been relying on them to give me my perspective of the world, to tell me who is and who is not worth listening to, without ever accounting for the fact that those people are biased. Regardless of whether or not they're biased in a way that I like, that doesn't mean that their bias isn't there, that it doesn't exist, and it doesn't imply that that bias doesn't need to be interrogated or taken into account at least while you're listening to those people's opinions. But I realize now that I have just been kind of holding on to this warped sense of reality, because what happens is you only end up with half the story. Half the story that's being presented as the full truth. And it's hard because, like I say, I feel like I'm living in this like warped sense of reality, because now it's just like, it's all these people are just giving me opinions about, like, I'm looking at an influencer to decide what like Starbucks cup to buy or something. Like, these are my opinions about the world, about social justice, about politics, about everything around me. And to kind of wake up one day and realize like, oh damn, you're kind of uninformed. You have been kind of, you're extremely biased. You don't actually know what you're talking about. That's something that's really difficult to come to terms with. That's something that's kind of difficult to reckon with. And I've always known, and I've said this so many times, I've always known that the world isn't just black and white. Like, there's not just like this and that. There's so much gray area there. But I think that with the rise of identity politics, I kind of got swept up into this type of thinking that I do not want to be a part of at all anymore, that I don't want to endorse at all anymore. Just this kind of like us versus them mentality where everyone is trying to blame everyone else for their group's problems. I don't know. It just feels like no one is listening to understand. Like, we're not listening to understand and work towards a solution. Like, we're just kind of like listening and waiting for our turn to speak, or listening and waiting for our turn to yell, and trying to figure out who to blame and justifying all the reasons why it's okay for us to make fun of and isolate and cancel and dismiss and invalidate the people who don't agree with us. And I don't think that that makes sense. I don't think that it's okay. I think that we're allowed to demand solutions. We're allowed to look to someone to take responsibility, but we want the other side to listen while refusing to listen to them. We want the other side to take responsibility while refusing to acknowledge any responsibility for our own lives. And we want the other side to check their bias without acknowledging the fact that maybe we have bias, and even though we consider it to be good bias, that it negatively affects our opinions and our thoughts and our idea of what the truth is. And anyways, there's this concept which, I don't know, I feel like I learned all this stuff in school, and then, I don't know, I just got swept up in the whole social justice warrior hype of it all. But there's this concept that we learned in school. I was going through my notes from university, and there's this concept called reflexivity by Karen Max that basically you're supposed to use as you're trying to like do like a study or write like a research paper on a group of people. And basically it's just the idea that you are constantly, or you should be constantly, analyzing yourself and your own bias and your own privilege and the dynamics that exist between you and whatever group you're talking to or learning about or analyzing, and just recognizing that the bias that you have is going to affect how you engage with those people. It's going to affect how you view those people. It's going to affect how you listen to them, and that you need to be aware of that. And so now I'm just trying to be a lot more reflexive and to catch my bias in those moments where it does come up. And what that has looked like is giving an article my absolute full attention instead of just skimming through it and deciding that I know what it says, or instead of just reading the title and deciding that I know what it's about, or reading someone else's opinion on the article or someone else's opinion on what's happening and deciding that I know, based on what their opinion is, that I know what I'm talking about. I've been clicking on videos and articles and things that I believe that I will disagree with. Like, if I look at something and I'm just like, that looks offensive, I'll watch it, I'll click on it, I'll look at it. And I've noticed that a lot of the time, what I believe to be offensive isn't even offensive. And it is literally just a result of my own bias. And that's embarrassing. I've been actually listening to people speak and their actual words, instead of just listening to a summary of what someone, instead of just listening to someone else's summary of what that person said. And I've been engaging with media sources that I never would have imagined, never would have imagined that I would engage with. And I'll be honest, it has really opened my mind, and I've learned so many new things, and it's allowed me to question a lot of my own assumptions. It's encouraged me to form stronger opinions. It's challenged me to learn and to grow intellectually, academically. It's encouraged me to try to seek a more objective version of the truth, because I think that ideological echo chambers are dangerous on both sides. They're dangerous if you're on the right. They're dangerous if you're on the left. And I just don't feel like I want to pick a side anymore, or feel like I have to defend a certain viewpoint or defend a certain group, and that I'm not allowed to listen to someone or say something or engage with a certain thought because it would be a betrayal to Black people, or a betrayal to women, or a betrayal to the LGBTQ community. I don't think that I can really betray you unless I stand up and start actively like hating you, and that's not what I'm trying to do. But I don't think that, is it wrong to listen, is my question. I don't think it is. And if you decide that it's wrong to listen, I don't think that you are allowed to have an opinion, but if you haven't listened, how do you decide what's right? And that's kind of like what my question is. Anyways, I want to end on this. So, like I was saying, I went to university for one of my majors was law and society. And in law and society, we discussed the effects. This is going to be groundbreaking when I say it, folks. We discussed the effects of society on the law and the effects of law on society. And we kind of talk about the foundations of our modern society and the foundations of democracy and basically how we got to where we are today. Who were the influential thinkers? What did they think? How did what they thought in, like, how did that infiltrate our laws? How society has changed over the years, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's this concept called the marketplace of ideas. And in this text called On Liberty by John Stuart Mill, he talks about this. I think the original idea came from some dude, John Milton, but we didn't really read a lot of his stuff in university, so I'm less familiar with him. But basically, the marketplace of ideas is one of the ideas or concepts that underpins the right to, or the concept of, free expression in Canada and free speech in the United States. And the idea is basically that, essentially, just like in a free market, in society, people should be allowed to exchange their ideas freely in pursuit of the truth, or in order to find truth. And the only way to find truth is to allow everyone to speak freely. And the idea is that in our pursuit of truth, we let everyone speak, and then we question each other, we challenge each other, we drill down, we get into debates, we have conversations, we have meaningful, deep discussions, we dive to the core of the issue, and we, through speech, kind of like duke it out civilly to figure out who actually holds the truth. And then we find the truth and we use that to advance society. And the whole idea is that we're supposed to be able to, that in order to figure out who's right and in order to correct speech, the solution is not censorship. The solution is conversation. And it's an argument, like I was saying, for free speech and against government censorship. But what's interesting is I feel like in our society today, not even necessarily in a legal sense, but just in wider society, it's become totally okay to censor people, become expected. It's become considered politically correct to censor people, especially online, and especially with the rise of political correctness and with the rise of identity politics and the rise of cancel culture. There's like this idea that, or this expectation that you won't listen to, or you won't allow people to speak, you won't even entertain the thoughts or ideas of anyone if that person is deemed offensive. And it's considered normal to allow other people to decide for you what is or is not offensive. And I think we live in a time where people have just become so concerned with making everyone feel safe and included and not offending anyone and not being controversial that it's made it so difficult to say things. It's made it uncomfortable to say things. It's made it uncomfortable to talk about difficult issues because it's like you never know what the right thing to say is. You never know what the wrong thing to say is. Like, it's hard to ask questions because you don't want to come off as ignorant, because being ignorant is like the deadliest of deadly sins. And you have to, this is like a weird thing that I really want to get rid of because I hate it. I think it's so weird. But like having to acknowledge every single point of privilege that you have before you speak or before you give an opinion. And it's just like the parts of you that people would acknowledge as being oppressive. And it's like people have to kind of like disclaim themselves before they share their opinion. And I think that's a really weird practice and I don't like it. Just this idea of, so like I said, back to my example, if I'm like some white guy, I would get up in front of the room and I would say, first, I want to acknowledge that I'm a colonizer. I'm a white male. I've actually heard people like say stuff like this. Like, this is what people do. I want to acknowledge that, you know, I come from colonizers. I'm a white cisgender male. I hold a lot of privilege and I just want to acknowledge that. And it's like, it's just like a weird thing to do. I can look at you and see that you're a white guy. Just talk. And it's just this idea that, you know, certain people aren't allowed to have opinions. And it's just like, it's just weird. It's uncomfortable. And I don't like it. This just, taking 10 steps to make every single person as comfortable as possible, taking 10 extra steps to be as unoffensive as possible, I feel like it's really messing with our speech. And it's just weird. Everything that you say, everything that you do has to be in line with the values and opinions of like every single member of every single marginalized group. And yeah, otherwise you're blank phobic or you're blankism. And I think that that's really weird, especially because identity politics, like I said, like, so when you like politically align yourself with another group of people based on like a common identity trait, it's weird because you're trying to advance a group interest, but the group interest can't be the same because your identity doesn't necessarily define your entire experience. Because even if I'm Black, my experience will be completely different as a Black middle-class person than the experiences of a Black person who's a member of the 1%. I don't know where to go from here. It's just this weird pressure. Even like talking about this now, I'm just like, okay, like I want to make sure that that my point gets across properly because I don't want anything to be misconstrued. But like just this idea that you have to be absolutely perfect because the smallest misstep or the smallest, like you misspeak just a little bit or someone misinterprets the way that you said something, someone doesn't like the people that you listen to, someone doesn't like where you draw your ideas from, and all of a sudden they have grounds to kind of like defame your character, they have grounds to completely dismiss you, they have grounds to call for you to be censored, they have grounds to call for you to be fired, they have grounds to call for all of these things, even if they haven't actually listened. And that's what scares me, which has become so hard to say things because no one wants to listen to anything that offends them. And no one wants to say anything for fear of being offensive. And if you go forward and you say it, you're a bad person because you are construed as being uncompassionate. Anyways, there's this common saying, I feel like I've been talking for so long, I'm going to try to wrap up quickly, but there's this common saying that's like, there's your version, and then there's the truth. And that kind of implies or it necessitates that both sides be heard in order to find the truth. And basically all of this to say that I feel like I've only been listening to the left side for so long. Now that I'm listening to the right side, I'm realizing that part of the truth is found in the right side. Part of the truth is found in the left side too. But to pretend like only one of those sides can be right or only one of those sides can be or should be listened to, that's kind of what I want to interrogate here, and that's kind of what I want to ask you, like, you know, are you finding the truth or are you seeking to not be offended? Are you engaging with people's ideas and then deciding that they're wrong, or are you allowing other people to tell you what to be offended by and then allowing other people's opinions to become your opinions? And I think it's dangerous to do that. I think that both sides have their own subjective version of what's happening in any given social issue. And I know that for myself, I do have like a little bit of a tendency to go in to conversations, especially around more contentious issues like race and gender, I think for obvious reasons. It can be easy to go into those conversations and to have my guard up and to be a little bit more defensive. Like even as I was trying to listen to these like controversial things, any single time, I still don't like hearing people talk about pro-life arguments. It's still just, it doesn't sit well with me. It's not something that I agree with. And I think that's okay. The whole point of listening isn't to concede to the person. The point of listening is to listen. And I think that we've gotten to this place where a conversation is no longer a conversation. A conversation is like a battleground of the identities. You know, it's like Black people against white people, it's men against women, and it's like no one is actually listening to each other. And just because you listen to someone, like I said, it doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It doesn't mean you have to concede to them. But at the very least, if you're going to form an opinion on someone's thoughts, you should at least know what their opinion actually is, shouldn't you? You should actually listen to their opinion, shouldn't you? And it's just messed up to me. It's just baffling to me that I haven't been doing that, and I'm just... it's sad. I don't know. Instead of genuinely looking to engage with that person and understand what they're saying, I think to just immediately dismiss them as offensive is a mistake. I really think it is. And so you might be thinking and being like, oh, so you want me to sit down and listen to the KKK? Huh? And it's like, well, no. But I think that like to make the assumption, I think that a lot of time people kind of like jump to the extreme. You want me to sit down and talk to a rapist? And it's like, I think that line of thinking should be interrogated just a little bit, because to assume that anyone that doesn't agree with you has to be the very worst of the worst of humanity, that can't be true. You have to know that that's not true. Because between the most left-leaning person, is this the left? This is the right. Between the most, sorry, I'm like using my hands. Between the most left-leaning person and the most right-leaning person, there's so many people in the middle there. Between that black and white, there's so much gray area. But like, I don't know, between the most passionate Black Lives Matter activist and then the grand, I don't know what their titles are, the grand wizard of the KKK or something, between those two people is going to be a diverse set of opinions, completely diverse thought, and it's ludicrous to pretend as though any single person that disagrees with you is automatically the oppressor, is automatically evil, is automatically the worst of the worst, is automatically out to get you. That can't be true. And I think that we all know that it's not true. Because you think about maybe what like the right, what their conception of the left is. You know that when you, like, for example, I think that we all know, like, there are just certain people that are a part of movements that make the movement look bad, and you look at them and you're just like, now everyone's gonna look at our movement and think that that's what we are. And it's like, but you know that that's not who you are. You know that that's not. That person is misrepresenting the movement, or what they've said has been misrepresented. You know it's being skewed in the media because you're actually a part of that side. And it's crazy that we on like more like the liberal or progressive side can see that happen to us, but not recognize the possibility that that has happened or is happening to the right or to the more conservative side. And it's just, I don't know. I'm trying to find more of a middle ground. And that's kind of like, I like the Jubilee series, that whole channel actually, where they have basically just videos that are based around having just genuine conversations and talking about how you can't assume that you know what everyone in a group thinks, because they'll do videos that are like, does every Black person think the same? Does every vegan think the same? And it's like, they don't. Those groups are not a monolith. They're just not. They'll have people come together and have conversations and try to find middle ground. And I think that's really important, especially in the society that we're living in today, where even the idea of trying to find middle ground is considered offensive. I think that's ridiculous. Anyways, going back to the idea of the marketplace of ideas and also just kind of like what type of podcast this podcast is basically just a place for me to try to understand myself and the people around me. But I want it to be the same for you, for everyone listening, and I want people to feel like they are able to join in on the discussion. I think that that's very easy to do on YouTube because there's a comment section, but it's not so easy to do if you're just listening to this on the podcast. So what you can do is you can either just go to YouTube and comment if you want, but I made it a little more simple for you. I do have a page on my website, and it's called The Marketplace of Ideas. And the URL for that is FeliciaFalconer.com/thoughts. So FeliciaFalconer.com/thoughts. And there you can share your thoughts on the most recent episode, because I would genuinely love to hear your opinions on this. But yeah, I'm not going to be sharing or responding to everything on the podcast. But if there's something that I find to be particularly interesting or particularly thought-provoking, that I might choose to maybe like read it or share a part of that person's thoughts in a later episode. But yeah, this has just been a crazy time for me in general, because I feel like I've been going through so much as I am reorganizing essentially now like my political beliefs. I'm reorganizing my diet since I'm like you all know that I'm no longer vegan. I'm reorganizing my social groups. I'm reorganizing my appearance. Obviously, I look completely different this year, or at the end of this year, than I did at the beginning of this year. I'm rethinking my career. Everything just seems like so up in the air right now. It's just so weird. And I know that when everything lands back down, that it will be better. It'll be stronger. It'll be more stable and more sensible. But it's just a really weird process to live through as I try to like just figure everything out and learn. I don't know. But it is also a good experience, and I think a really beneficial experience, to be able to kind of go through this and learn new things and grow in new directions, engage with new types of thought. And I'm excited at the idea of that adventure, although I do find it to be a little disorienting. But yeah, I hadn't done an office hours video in a while, and although I originally was going to do this on something else, I was going to do it on, I was actually going to do this on men's rights, but I decided to just do it on this instead. But anyways, as I approach the end of this episode, you know, by no means am I saying that I think that my thoughts on this are perfect. I hope that I've made it clear that I don't think that my thoughts on this are perfect. I'm still confused, figuring things out. I'm just open to receiving new information. I'm open to learning in a way that isn't safe, in a way that might make me feel uncomfortable, in a way that might offend me, in a way that might challenge me. And I think I'm realizing how important that is. I don't want to hide myself from parts of the truth. I want the full truth. I want to form real opinions. And I would encourage you to do the same. I haven't decided that I'm right or that I'm wrong about anything. I'm just kind of throwing my thoughts into the marketplace of ideas, you know? So if you disagree with me, if you disagree with things that I've said here, I think that that's okay. That is fine. That is a natural part of discussion. All I can say is that I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me and appreciate you making the effort to try to understand my perspective. But I am open to learning from you too, like I said. So you can go to FeliciaFaulkner.com/thoughts to give me your thoughts on today's episode. But that's the end of the office hours. We're closing for today. Get the hell out of my office. Thanks for listening. Bye.